Heard about this topic on Erev Lag BaOmer. Nothing to do with Lag BaOmer, obviously. On Shabbos, we had the privilege of hosting for Shabbos lunch Rebbetzin Lamb, who's one of my all-time favorite people. And Rebbetzin Lamb, just by the way, a ha'ara about Rebbetzin Lamb. You know that poster that we have outside of people who have made a commitment to say Asher Yatzar is better and Alam Michya is better and Hamapil is better. L'zeichah Nishmas, Nebuch L'chassan and Kala that were killed on. So that poster is an amazing thing because the people on that poster range in age from, I think, 4 years old to however old Rebbetzin Lamb is, because she's on that poster. So just because you're an 80-something great-grandmother doesn't mean that you can't keep on improving and making better brachas and everything. Okay, so anyway, so she was at her house for lunch, and when we got up to wash, she said, I just want to explain to you that I'm not going to be removing this ring when I wash, and the reason I'm not going to be removing it is because my husband, Zichrono Livracha, Rabbi Maurice Lamb, paskind that I don't have to remove this ring when I wash. So I said, Rebbetzin Lamb, we weren't going to question anything. We weren't going to. But I was thinking, I actually have a chapter in my next Sefer on that topic. So that's what got me interested in the topic for right now. So that's why we're going to be discussing that topic right now. It also is, today being the first warm day of the season, this is a time of the year where the volume of shailas about rings that cannot come off increases, because women's fingers get swollen at this time of year. I once had a case, a woman in the shul called me, she had to go to the mikveh, and she could not remove her ring. So I said, maybe you could just slide it back and forth under the knuckle. She said, no, not just cannot remove it, she could not budge the ring. Couldn't budge it at all, and she had to go to the mikveh. What is she supposed to do if she cannot budge the ring? It's a very similar shaila to the shaila of Netilas Yadayim, as we'll soon see. I didn't know. I said, why don't you hold up your hands in the air, put them in ice water? I'm guessing all the Eitzas that, she's like, you don't think I tried this? I was like, WD-40, I don't know. Like, I don't know what makes it go. I said, maybe you could just, maybe you call a jeweler and see what they could do. Maybe they'll have to cut the ring or something. All I know is I saw her a couple of days later without the ring. I don't know what happened, but somehow the ring was removed. Mm-hmm. So, and a third story, just to introduce the topic. A number of years ago, a Talmud of mine told me, a recently engaged Talmud of mine told me that his, it's not true, he's not a Talmud of mine, his brothers are Talmidim of mine, but he's part of that family, a family of Talmidim from Woodmere. He told me that his Kala had called him and said, Joey, I hope you're sitting down, because his name is Joey, I hope you're sitting down. And he says, he got very nervous, what's the matter? And she said, I was in the pizza shop, I washed for whatever I ate for pizza, and I totally forgot. I took off the rings, I put them by the sink, and when I remembered a few minutes later that I left the ring by the sink, I came back and it was gone. So an engagement ring that he had just spent a small fortune on, gone, and they had not yet insured it, gone. So to his great credit, he immediately said, oh, thank God, I thought it was something serious, it's just money. That was a good way to start a marriage. That was if it were a test, he passed it. It wasn't just a test. She talked and lost the ring. So the shaila then came: is this really true? Is it necessary? Who's right? Is the kala right, or is Rabbi Lamb Zichrono Livracha right that the ring does not have to be removed? So let's learn through the sugya a little bit, and we'll see that this is relevant not just to rings, to other things as well. But it's an interesting sugya. It starts with the Gemara Chulin Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara Maseches Chulin on the first page over here. Tan Rabbanan Netilas Yadayim Lechulin Ad HaPerek. When you wash for eating regular food, you wash Ad HaPerek. You wash till the wrist. Letruma Ad HaPerek. When you're washing for truma, also till the wrist. Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Mikdash Ad HaPerek. When the Kohanim wash their hands and feet in order to do the avoda in the Mikdash, also Ad HaPerek. V'Kol Dover. Now here's the key. V'Kol Dover Shechotzit B'Tvila B'Guf Chotzit B'Netilas Yadayim L'Chulin. Whatever is going to be a chatzitza on one's body when it comes to tevila, when it comes to going to the mikvah, that is those are the same rules of chatzitza that you have for Netilas Yadayim when it comes to washing for a meal. Ooh, B'Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Mikdash. and the same rules for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, the dinim of Chatzitza and Netilas Yadayim can best be learned by studying the dinim of Chatzitza for Tevila and Mikvah. Tevila and Mikvah, of course, is a much more serious issue because Netilas Yadayim is Drabanan. Tevila is a daraisa, and need the daraisa goes to the mikvah. This is a very, very serious issue that there not be any chatzitzas. For men, it doesn't really matter nowadays, because men nowadays don't ever really have to go to the mikvah. Minag to go Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur. If you're a little more chassidish, you go maybe so more frequently, but there's no longer Takanas Ezra, there's no longer any reason, Midine Tuma, that men would go to the mikvah unless you go on Tahara Bayis. If you're one of the people that goes on Tahara Harabayis, so anyone with Tumas Ziva is not allowed to enter Harabayis, although I think most of the people going to Harabayis don't really go on to Harabayis. I think they go into the area that they're confident is not Harabayis. But if you go on to the area that actually is Harabayis, that doesn't have Kedushas Azar, but has Kedushas Harabayis, one would have to go to the mikveh and it would have to be for real. So a man would have to go through the process that a woman goes through before going to the mikveh to remove all chatzitzas, right? We'd have to make sure that there would be no chatzitzas. But all these dinim of chatzitza are the same. Great! So what are the dinim of chatzitza? So that's a sugya in the first parak of Maseches Sukkah. So this is something that's familiar to pretty much anyone who's ever learned the normal yeshiva Maseches, because every yeshiva at some point or another does sukkah in an Elzman, in a Kayetzman, or something like that. So the Gemara Maseches Sukkah tells us as follows. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Rubo Makbidel of Chotzeitz. What does it take to have a chatzitza on a daraisa level? Something that covers the majority of the body, and you don't want it there. It's something that there are at least times that you wish it weren't there. So on a daraisa level, in order for something to be a chatzitza in going to the mikveh, a woman, let's say, would have to be going in something like full scuba gear into the mikveh, right? If she goes in full scuba gear, it covers the majority of her body. Full scuba gear is, I guess, the entire body. And it's something that she doesn't always want, right? She doesn't normally, you don't see women walking on the aisles of Gourmet Glot in full scuba gear, right? It's something that she doesn't always want on her entire body. Midoraisa, that's what it would take to have a chatzitza. Even if it's the majority of her body, but if it's something she doesn't care about, it's not going to be a chatzitza on a daraisa level. We almost never have a chatzitza on a daraisa level, but here's what we do have. We have chatzitzas on a drabanan level. V'gazral rubo she'enu makbid mishum rubo amakbid, val miyuto amakbid mishum rubo amakbid. They made a gzera that one or the other, if something either covers the majority of the body, or is something that you're makbid about. Not both. One or the other, that too is going to be a chatzitza. So how do we have a chatzitza? If either something covers the majority of the body, but you always want it there. Can you think of any examples of something that covers the majority of the body that you always want it to be there? No, I don't think there's a single example. I was never able to come up with an example. I teach chasanim all the time, so we go through the dinim of chatzitza and tefillah. I don't think there's a single example. I once thought I almost found an example. A woman called me up. She was making a bar mitzvah for her son, and she wanted to get a spray tan on her entire body before the bar mitzvah, but she had to go to the mikveh a couple of nights before the bar mitzvah, and she wanted to get the spray tan like a week before. What?
Tattoo, maybe?
The tattoo's totally under the skin. So, and also the majority of the body tattoo, that's a pretty serious commitment to a tattoo. So I couldn't think of a single example, but I thought, ooh, maybe that's a rubo she'eno makbid. It's the majority of her body, and why would she ever want it to go away? She always wants to look tan. It's unfortunate if it goes away, then she's going to have to actually either go outside in some real sun or do this again. But then I Googled it, and I researched a little bit how it works. It just becomes part of the skin, meaning you get the spray tan, you take a shower, most of it washes off, but whatever doesn't wash off is really part of the skin. And how does it disappear? Not because it washes off, it's because we shed our skin over time. So it's when the skin sheds that she loses the tan. So it's actually just part of her skin. It's not something external, so it's probably not a chatzitza at all. So I lost the opportunity to say that we found an example of rubo she'ino makbid, but good news for the woman, it's not a chatzitza at all. So she was able to do it. Okay, but I can't think of a single example. Every chatzitza shaila a rabbi ever deals with is the other kind of chatzitza. It's always midrabanan, and it's always a miyut hamakbid, something that covers a minority of the body, but is something that a person is makbid to remove at times. So says the Gemara, v'ligzer nami al miyuto she'eino makbid mishum miyuto hamakbid. Why didn't Chazal make a gzeira that you're not even allowed to have a miyut fruit she'eno makbid. Why not make such a gezeira? Inam mishum ruba she'eno makbid, because it, after all, that's very similar to a ruba she'eno makbid or to a mira makbid. So says Gemara, higufa gezeira va'na nekum v'nigzar gezeira l'gezeira. No, the initial stage of one or the other is only a din d'rabanan. We're not going to make another din d'rabanan to protect the first din d'rabanan. That's a gezeira l'gezeira. We don't go so far. We don't make gezeiros and other gezeiros. Good. So. The original gzera is the one gzera drabanan. So we make gzera drabanan. We don't make a gzera to protect another gzera. The gzera drabanan is to protect the din daraisa. Right. That we do all the time, but we're not going to make a gzera le gzera. Good. Bali tells us all the Rishonim discuss. Yeah, what about those times that we do make a gzera le gzera? It doesn't seem that it's a clear cut rule throughout all the shas that we never make a gzera le gzera. Essentially, the rule is we don't make a gzera le gzera unless it's really necessary. There's also an interesting discussion, or unless it's the Gemara has an expression. Kulacha de gzera, that it was all one gzera, meaning sometimes at the initial point of making the gzera, they already realize that that gzera doesn't stand a chance unless they include together with it a gzera le gzera. So if it all happened at one point in history, or sometimes you'll have what's called a trade drabanan, Rav Shapta points out in Eretz Tzvi, you'll sometimes have a trade drabanan, which is different than a gzera le gzera. Trade drabanan means two separate dinim drabanan happen to overlap. So it's something is only drabanan for two different reasons, but it's not that one gzera was made dafka to protect the other one. It's just by coincidence they happen to overlap. That you'll have a lot of times, you'll have a trade drabanan, but that's different than a gzera le gzera. Rav Shachter has in his notes of Maseches Beitza from the Rav Shir, I believe, with the chakira of whether the fact that we don't make a gzera le gzera, does that mean that Chazal were not permitted to make a gzera le gzera? Meaning Chazal certainly didn't have license to just do whatever they wanted. They couldn't just manipulate the Torah into whatever they wanted. They worked within certain rules, so maybe gzera le gzera was too far beyond the original intention of the author to be able to for Chazal to make, or do we say no? Chazal never chose to make a gzera l'gzera, although they were permitted to make a gzera l'gzera. And how you answer that question will influence how you understand kulacha de gzera. It will, you know, influence how you understand whether there are ever any exceptions to this idea that we don't make a gzera l'gzera. But all that is, you know, is interesting, but not really so nogea. What's nogea to us is the rules. The rule is miut. She makbid, a miut a makbid is a chatzitza. A miut she eino makbid is not a chatzitza. Now, how do we define miut and rov? So it would seem pretty simple. The majority of one's body, right? So we're talking about tevila and mitzvah, the majority of one's body. We're talking about netilas yadayim. Ada perek is netilas yadayim, the majority of one's hands. So Rashi in Maseches Sukkah and in Maseches Erevin, where this also appears, Rashi writes, when we say rov, it means rov haseya, miut haseya, the majority of the hair, minority of the hair. And the way some understand Rashi, the way Bali Atos understand Rashi, is that Rashi must hold that this whole din, that in order to be a chatzitza midaraisa, it needs to cover the majority, is only true by hair. But any other part of the body, even a minority, is a chatzitza midaraisa. That's what Rashi is saying. All of these categories that we just made up of Ruba Makbid, Ruba Sheino Makbid, Miura Makbid, all of that is only when you're talking about the hair. You're talking about any other part of the body, any chatzitza is a chatzitza daraisa. Even a smaller chatzitza is a chatzitza daraisa. Says Tosfos, that is against all of Shas. In every Gemara that talks about this, it sounds like this is a din in the entire body, and it's not just a din in the hair. And in fact, the Ritva says, yeah, Rashi didn't mean that it's only a din in the hair. When Rashi says, Rov Sa'aro, he's actually alluding to a machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim, whether when we measure the majority, do we measure the entire body at once? Or do we measure the hair separate from the rest of the body? So Rashi's saying, Rov Haseir, meaning the hair gets measured separately and the body gets measured separately. But for either one of them to be a Chatzitza Daraisa, it would have to be the majority of it, meaning the majority of the body, the majority of the hair. There is a Shita Sami'iri. I don't know if I quoted it here, but Rav Shachter pointed out when we were learning Sukkah in Shir, there is a Shita Sami'iri, I believe it is, that says that Rov Haseir, that the sheet of the Gaonim, that Rov Haseir is a chatzitza, would also hold Vuhu Adin Rov Kal Ever Ve'Ever Shebaguf. would be chatzitza midaraisa, which would mean that if you have, how do you define an aver on the human body? So on each finger, except for the thumb, you have three avarim. It has basa, gidin, vatzamos. So the from here to here is an aver shalim. From here to here is an aver shalim. From here to here is an aver shalim. Between each knuckle is an aver shalim. So if you have something that covers the majority of your fingertip on your pinky, that would be a chatzit, and you're makbir on it, that would be a chatzitza mida oraisa, according to the Me'iri. I do not believe we paskin that way. We paskin the Shulchan Aruch, it's pretty clear, rubo umakbir of the body is chotzitz mida oraisa, miyut ha-makbir is chotzitz mida rabbanon, miyut she'eno makbir, if you have a miyut, a minority of the body, and you're not makbir at all, then it's not a chatzitza at all. Great, so the rules are pretty clear at this point, that something that is on the minority of the body is only going to be a chatzitza if it's something that you would ever want to remove. So if I were to ask you right now at this point, when it comes to a ring, what is the is a ring a chatzitza? So it would seem a ring is definitely a miut. I don't know, unless the woman has like, if you hold like the Me'iri and she has like a ginormous diamond or something, and she's wearing serious bling. But normally, a ring, we would assume, according to, and always according to all other Rishonim, a ring is definitely a miut. Is it makbid or ain't a makbid? Is it something that she wants there, something that she doesn't want there? So what would you say? It's iffy, right? Meaning some women never take off their rings, some women do take off the ring, so it might depend on that. A couple of details, though, about what's called makbid.
Is it including taking off the sleeve?
Yeah, so let's see. Right? What does it mean, never takes it off? Never ever, her entire life, takes it off? So what exactly does it mean? So a couple of details that are important over here. The Rush in Hilchos Mikvaos and the Ran in the second part of Shavuos write in the name of the Raven in Balei HaNefesh that even if right now she doesn't want to remove it, but if normally would want to remove it, that's called a chatzitza. I mean, that's called a makbid. Meaning if there are times in her life that she wants it gone, even though right now there's no reason for her to want it gone, right now she would leave it on, that's called makbid. If at any point she would want to remove it, that's one. Number two, because I would have said, makbid means that right now, she doesn't care that it's there, so that's ain't no makbid. Makbid is she doesn't want it there right now. No, says the Rush, makbid means she would ever be makbid. Second, the Rashba, the Taurus Abayas HaKatzar, and Rabbeinu Yeruchim, also, right, that even if a particular person, never wants to remove it, but most people would be makbid about it, but l'daita etzel das kaladam. So let's say you have a person who, for some reason, isn't bothered by mud all over their body. They don't care that their body is full of mud. So that is abnormal. That's abnormal behavior. They may not care, and they may say, you know, I'm happy living like this. I'm happy living in a constant mud bath. Well, most normal people are not happy living like that, and therefore, but l'daita etzel das kaladam. What happens in Shulchan Aruch and Yardaya, in Kuf Tzadi Ches, when we discuss the dinim of chatzitza, there's an exception to this rule. Rambam points out that if, let's say, everyone in your profession would not be makbid about it, so then we don't say but l'daita etzel das kaladam. We say you're normal for your profession, and therefore it's not a hakpada. For example, what would be an example where a particular profession is not makbid about a particular kind of chatzitza?
A painter,
right? That's the example that's given by the Rama. You have a painter, they always have paint on their fingertips, they always have some paint, and that's just normal for their profession. They don't, they're not so makbid to clean it off, and they never worry about the fact, adarabah, they go to a cocktail party or something, it's good advertising. Oh, you're a painter? Yeah, you need some painting, you know, so it's, they're never worried about having the paint on them. So that's, that. We don't say batel daita etzel das kaladam, because everyone in their category would be like that. So all of this is quoted by Allah in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rama writes, the Rama adds in Yardaya, ulecharchila lo titpal afilu bedvarm she'enem chotzim, gzer atu dvarm chotzim. Lecharchila, and this is important, lecharchila, a woman should not go to the mikveh even with something that's not a chatzitza. Even if it's a miut she'eno makbid, meaning one could argue that perfectly manicured fingernails that have nail polish on them, that's a miut she'eno makbid, right? They look good. she would never want them off when they're looking good. If they're chipped and they're not looking so nice, then it's a miut hamakbid, and that would actually be a chatzitza, that would passel the tefillah, chatzitza midrabbanan, that would passel the tefillah, the woman would have to go again to the mikvah. But let's say they're perfect, they're perfect. So if they're perfect, then it would be a miut she'eno makbid, it would not ruin the tefillah. But the Rama says that we try to be careful. I was about to say the word makbid, but that would be confusing. We try to be careful to not go to the mikveh even with something that's not a chatzitza at all. So in certain Sephardic communities, not all, certain Sephardic communities, they allow women to go to the mikveh with perfectly manicured nails. Why? Because there's a Rama. Meaning the halacha really is that it's not a chatzitza. But the Rama says that our minhag is l'chadchila, we don't allow this. So in most of our Ashkenazi local mikvahs here, certainly, the mikvah lady would at least question and make you call the rabbi before allowing a woman to go in with any sort of nail polish on her nails. I've gotten calls sometimes from Yoetzet or from a woman asking if we could be makel about this. I don't think we should. I don't think we should be makel about such a thing, unless it's mamish a situation where a woman would not go to the mikvah otherwise, then it's not a lechadchila anymore. But lechadchila means that, what's the definition of lechadchila? But yeah, but it doesn't mean, does she find it annoying or does she not find it annoying? That's a lot of times people think that's what lechadchila means, that she still hasn't done it yet. She hasn't gone to the mikveh yet. So lechadchila means, if she hasn't yet gone to the mikveh, take it off, remove it, even if you find it annoying. B'di'evin means she's already gone to the mikveh, so we're not going to make her go back to the mikveh. That's what b'di'evin means. Okay, so anyway, so lahalacha, it's those are the halachas of tevila. So based on that, when it comes to netilas adayim, lechadchila certainly, she, according to all Ashkenazim at least, lechadchila, she has to remove her rings. She can't have anything that's chotzitz by netilas yadayim, even if it's a miut she'eno makbid. And if it's something that, if it's a ring that she's sometimes makbid to take off, then it should be a chatzitza, and it should be a significant problem, right? It should even ruin the netila if it's something that she's ever makbid to take off. Now, when it comes to this discussion of the ring, the Rishonim discuss it directly. We don't have to get involved in guesswork of what would they say based on Netilas Yadayim. Beis Yosef and Orchaim Simkuf Samach Aleph quotes from Nagos Hashri, "Vitzarich lahasir atabas me'al yada b'shas Netilas Yadayim." One must remove the ring from the hand at the time of Netilas Yadayim. Says the Beis Yosef that even though the Rokeach writes that it's unnecessary, that must be because the Rokeach holds that for Netilas Yadayim you don't have to wash your entire hand, that you only have to wash until the middle knuckle. But according to the poskim that we hold, that you have to wash the entire hand, including the part that has the ring on it, and the ring is on pretty tight, so it's going to stop the water from going through, one has to remove the rings. So, a woman never removes a ring, says Beis Yosef, are you sure? You ever see her knead dough? When she kneads dough, she's not going to leave her diamond ring on. So even though she may be very makbid to always leave her ring on, but if she's kneading dough and making challah or something, she would remove the ring. So you see that she's makpedes bishum pam. That as long as there's some time that she's makbid, that's going to be enough to be a problem. So that's that says Beis Yosef Vinira. Beis Yosef then adds, Tafilu tabas refuya. Even if it's a very loose fitting ring, tzarech la'asir b'shas netila. She needs to remove it at the time of netilas yadayim. Either because we don't know how loose is loose enough, or because if a woman were to wash with a ring that's loose fitting, it's not hard to imagine that she would also wash when it gets summertime and her fingers swell and the ring is more tightly fitting. So two reasons why, even if it's loose and the water can get in, so it's not going to be chatzitza at all, two reasons Beis Yosef says to still remove it. Number one, we don't know how loose is loose, where the water will actually be able to get in. And number two, that even if it is loose, if we allow her to keep her rings on, she'll end up keeping her rings on even when it's tight. Shulchan Aruch therefore paskins in Kuf Samach Siv Gimel Sarich Lahasya Tabas Me'al Yadu B'Shas Netil Sidayim. Unequivocally, you have to remove rings for Netil Sidayim. Says the Rama, Vafilu Hu Rafui, even if the ring is loose, Vafilu Eina Makbid Alav B'Shas Netila, even if you're not Makbid and you don't mind having it there for the Netila, Since you're makbid, sometimes when you're doing malacha, malacha-like, kneading dough, that it shouldn't get dirty. But the Rama adds, v'nagu k'tzas l'hakelim hu rafui. Not everyone buys into the Beis Yosef's chumrah. Some people are makil if it's loose-fitting. But I don't like it, says the Rama. So the Rama acknowledges that there are some people that are makil. So far it sounds like the Rama acknowledges Rabbi Lam's psak, I guess, right? That if it's loose fitting, that it's okay. But he doesn't like it. He says that's not good enough for me. So it's not looking good, right? Meaning it's not looking good for the kala in the pizza shop. It looks like she did the right thing by removing her ring, even if it cost them many thousands of dollars. It's not looking good for the... what about the following, though? What if a woman never, ever removes her rings? What do you mean? When she needs dough, she doesn't need dough. She has someone that does that for her, right? She doesn't need dough. Or maybe... One woman in the neighborhood told me she never ever removes her rings. I know this woman bakes a lot and does a lot because I've been invited to their house and there's always like stuff there. And she said, white glove service. Everything is with gloves. So she never has to remove her rings because her rings are never going to get dirty. She's always wearing gloves. So it happens to be taco white glove service when she serves also. But when she cooks, she said she's always wearing gloves. So she never ever removes the rings. So then you have reason to assume that would be a miut. She'eno makbid, but still, if you follow the rules of Tevila, l'charchila, for Ashkenazim at least, we should even be careful about a miut she'eno makbid. When it comes to Tevila d'Oraisa, it's so interesting. The Mechaber paskins in Tevila by going to the mikvah that anything that's loose fitting is not chotzeis, is not a chatzitza, which is shocking because in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. He says, I don't buy this whole loose-fitting thing. You don't know what how loose is, and if you allow something loose, you're going to allow something tight. Yet in Hilchos Tevila, which is Doraisa, should be much more severe, he says anything that's loose is fine. So Beis Hillel points this out. The Beis Hillel, not the original Beis Hillel, the commentary in the side of Shulchan Aruch, called Beis Hillel, points out that the Mechaber in Aruch Chaim is not mechalik between loose-fitting and tight-fitting. And it's not possible that Midrabbanim and Tzil Sidaim is going to be more chamur than the Darais of Tevila. And therefore, he says, when it comes to Tevila, we should be machmir, that the Tevila doesn't even work b'diyeved if it's loose-fitting. Against the Mechaber, he says if we have to be more machmir by Tevila than we are by Tzil Sidaim. And since by Netilas Yadayim we're machmir lechadchila, that she shouldn't have even something loose fitting, how could you possibly be more machmir than that? By Tevila, you're going to say, even by the Eved, we're machmir. She'd have to go to the mikvah again. The ring was so loose, doesn't matter. That's pretty astonishing. Right, I think all the other Achronim say, no, we're going to pass like the Shulchan Aruch. If something is roughly, we're knowing like this, I'll tell you where we're knowing like this. I'm involved in Geirus. I've mentioned many times in the past. I'm involved in a Beis Din for Geirus. So whenever I tell people that, number one question, what's the first question they ask? No one knows? What's the first question that comes to mind? So two questions that actually come to mind. First, a lot of people ask, Are they real? Meaning, how many of them are doing it just for marriage? How many of them are going back? Right, they want to know. Everyone's very suspicious. Which, by the way, is Nisa Daraisa, right? Meaning, you're not allowed to. Once a person is megayer, to cast aspersions unnecessarily and to look askance at them is many, many Yisurim Daraisa. But okay, so that's question number one. Assuming that it's a valid gerus, what? No one asks about that, although I find that the most uncomfortable part of the whole process. The other question that everyone asks, unfortunately because of scandalous cases, what about tevila for a woman? A tevila has got to be done in front of a basin. The whole gerus process has to be done in front of a basin. How does a woman go to the mikvah in front of a basin? What kind of sickos are you? So what do we do? So I was very curious as to what we do before I started. So first of all, even if the woman weren't wearing anything, which she is, I'll explain in a moment, but even if she weren't, we wouldn't see anything. Because I don't know if you've ever been to a mikveh. I'm a litvak. I've been to a mikveh, like, I could count on, on one hand, the amount of times in my life I've been on the inside of a mikveh. Like, my wedding day, a couple of Yom Kippurs, where I made the mistake of not going in someone's swimming pool. So but when you go to a mikveh, it's like all these steps down. So if you're standing on the platform, and someone goes down into the bar of the mikveh, and you're like a little bit removed, it's like me seeing what's on the other side of this shtender. You know, like someone, because, right, this whole wall is blocking. So if someone is down here like this, so I can't really, all I could see is their head. So we tell her, look back to make sure that we identify it's the right person that's going. And we could see her face, we could see her head. And then she goes down into the, and then she dips and we see her head go under and we leave the room. But she is wearing something. She's wearing a robe. She wears a robe into the mikveh. She probably wets her body in advance. The mikveh lady does that with her, makes sure that her body is wet in advance. And she goes into the mikveh and she puts on a robe. After we leave the room, and it's only her and the mikveh lady, the mikveh attendant, I think mikveh lady is like not politically correct, she'll remove the robe and she'll be tovelis again. But why is that okay? Well, the robe is roughly, it's loose. And if it's a loose fitting, the tefillah actually counts, right? So it's a loose fitting robe. What's wrong with that? Beis Hillel says, even b'dieved, it's not okay with a loose fitting robe for tefillah. Yeah, but we pass like the Mechaber. The Mechaber in Kuf Tzadichah says that Rafui eino chotzeitz, that something that's Rafui is not chotzeitz. And certainly that's a lot better than the alternative. What do you want her to be without any clothing? Well, so in the old days where you had good, dirty mikvahs, where, what did that comedian say? It looks like an avocado smoothie or something. So then you're not seeing anything anyway. But nowadays you have these pristine mikvahs. So if not for the fact that she's wearing clothing, it would be highly problematic. Okay, now, the Taz points out, and this is quoted by the Mishabru and the Magen Avraham as well, in the Marshal, that maybe men and women are different with regard to this, because men do not remove rings ever. Women who have rings do remove rings. That's a question of Metzius, whether that's true or not. But even when we say that someone never removes a ring, the Achronim point out, the Marameish and others, that it can't mean never. It means that on very rare occasion, and not ever for any specific consistent act. Meaning, if it's every time she needs dough, she removes the ring, that means that she occasionally removes it. But if she just removes it, I don't know, once a year or something, just to take it off, just so that, to expose that part of her body to air, you know, that finger to air, that's not called that she removes the ring. So that's just ha'ara. Now, everything we've been discussing to this point has been about chatzitza. Is that the only issue, though? So it seems that there may be another issue to contend with, and this is a much more technical, not more technical, but I guess less familiar area to us, because we're so much familiar with the dinim of chatzitza, since women do have to go to the mikveh, it's practical. There's a Mishnah Maseches Yadayim that talks about how Tumas HaYadayim works. You know, when we wash Netilas Yadayim, so what happens? So we wash twice in each hand. Why do we wash twice in each hand? The first time the water didn't do a good enough job. So the concern is that the Mayim HaRishonim that we wash, the first water that goes in our hand, becomes Tameh from our hands. Then the second wash washes off all is Metaher, the Mayim HaRishonim. And that way, our hands get Tahar. What if you were to only wash once? Well, then it would remain Tameh. So there's a quirk in the Mishnah in the second paragraph of Maseches Yadayim, where the Mishnah tells us, Natalus Rishonim, Vinimtsa al Yadav Kiseim Otsrar Yadav Tameos. That if you did Mayim HaRishonim, and on your hand there is some foreign substance on your hand, then whatever water is on that foreign substance will not become tahar from the mayim hashniyim, from the second washing. Which would mean that if you wash your hand and there's some water that touched your hand that is now on the ring, when you wash the second time, that water will remain tameh. And if that water drips back down to your hands will become tameh again. At least that's the way the Rash, the Rash Mishantz, understands that Mishnah. So if that's the case, we have a separate issue when it comes to wearing a ring, that you may just be defeating the entire purpose of Netilas Yadayim. However, that issue, while it sounds very serious, and it sounds like, oh my gosh, well then, of course not. You know, what are we even talking about, Chatzitza? That issue is fixed very easily. Because the Torah in Or Chaim Simchus Samach Beis writes that if a person, let's say, has a bandage on their hand, so there's no way they can remove it. So he says a simple Eitzah what to do. If you wash with at least a revius of Mayim at one time, then the Mayim HaRishonim will not become Tameh. It will get this whole din that the Mayim HaRishonim becomes Tameh, and then the Mayim HaShniim washes off the Mayim HaRishonim is only when you're washing with less than a revius. How much is a revius? So even if you hold Chazanish revius, what is it, like 5 ounces? Our washing cups are gigantic. You know, they have way more than that. So as long as you're makpid to wash with a reasonable amount of water, then you don't have anything to worry about as far as this is concerned. So again, right now, where we are right now, we've got problems. We've got 10 minutes to solve these problems, right? We've got problems. We have the issue that that it seems that the Rama is machmir l'chadchila, even when something is a miut, she'enu matbid, and we're not interested in the fact that it's roughly, that it's loose, because even if it's loose, we're machmir that even something, that, at least in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, even if not in Hilchos Tevila B'mikvah, we're machmir that you don't know what loose really means, and if we're making on something that's loose, you're going to be making on something that's tight as well. So, three potential kulas. Kula number one. The Rama is machmir even if the ring is loose, because we're not sure what's called loose and what's not. But there is an Eitzah to leave the ring on the finger and nevertheless to still make it work. And that is suggested by the Kaf HaChaim Kuf Samech Aleph Sukkot Lamed Beis, where he says as follows. Misha biyado tabas zahav, the Evan Tova Kavuaba. Let's say you're wearing an engagement ring. Umis yare lahasira me etzba'o. He's talking about a man. He's, you know, I guess, different culture, right? That a man is wearing, you know, a guy won the Super Bowl. So he's wearing a ring that has diamonds in it, and he does not want to remove the ring. When he washes his hands, he doesn't want to remove it because he might forget it by the sink, and it's going to get stolen. Yesh lo takana. First, wash enough water over the right hand, which has the ring on it. Then move the ring up or down the finger to a different location on the length of the finger to a spot that's already wet. It's already tofeach aminas l'apiach, means it's wet enough that it could that if someone were to touch it, their finger would become wet from touching it. I just read that. V'shuv yishpach mayim al osayad beis pa'amim kedin chiyuv netila or revius basachas ubzeh nitara kol hayad. And then wash at least the revius the second time around, or do two smaller washings. Shari makom arishon shabayis atavas nitra de shvichas samayim beis pamim or revius basachas. The place where the ring used to be when you started washing becomes tahor with the second washing, as long as there was more than a revius. The gamakom shunasuna ba'achshav niteres ayde tibul arishon, and where the ring is now was covered by the first washing. Ushvichas acheru shamayim shetachas atavas mitzarifim amvein chotzeis, and the water that's under the ring connects with the water that you're washing on your hand right now, because what's under the ring is tofeach amenas l'piach, it's wet. So when there's moisture underneath, it connects them together. So that's what you have to do. So in fact, my wife, when Rebbetzin Lamb told her that she's not going to remove her rings because this was Razmus Psak, my wife said that whenever she's in a public place where she's afraid that she might lose the ring or forget the ring, she'll wash once, move the ring up her finger, and then wash again. I don't recall if I ever told her about this Kaf HaChaim, or if she knew this Kaf HaChaim, or somehow knew what to do. But according to the Kaf HaChaim, that's the best thing to do. However, the Kaf HaChaim says if you're going to do this, you do need to be careful to make sure that there's at least a revius of water with the second netila. It's not going to work if your second netila is less than a revius of water. So that is one etza, how to make it work. A second potential Eitzah of how to make it work. In the Tshuvas Or LeTzion, Rabben Tzion Abba Shaul, as it's on the Chelek Beis, Perek Yud Aleph, Tshuva Yud. He was asked if women need to remove their rings at the time when they do Netilas Yadayim, and he says, Bizmanenu, Afilu b'shaslisha in regilus lasir sadabas. He says nowadays even when women need those, they don't remove the ring, and therefore only someone who normally does remove her ring when she needs dough has to take it off for netila. And he writes biyameinu. Unnecessary to remove the ring. Even if it's really tight, because they never ever remove the ring. He says, I don't care if it has a stone, doesn't have a stone. But if a woman is makbid, then no luck, right? Then there's no kula. So now, why is this important that it's Rabbi Zion Abba Shaul who says this? He doesn't hold the Ramah. This is a Sephardi posik. So remember, there's a big difference between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber said, if you could knock it down to a miut, she'ino makbid, that it's a minority of the hand, and you're never makbid to remove it, then it's fine. But the Ramah said, L'charchila, we're makbid, we're careful even about a miyut she'eino makbid. So Ben Zion Abba Shaul, a Sephardi posek, says, okay, miyut she'eino makbid, if she doesn't remove it, b'shas lisha, then it's perfectly fine. He points out that in other Sephardic poskim, they distinguish between a ring that has a stone and one that does not have a stone. That's why he made a point of saying that he does not distinguish, where they say that if it has a stone, she has to remove it. So he says that's only because in those days, if a ring had a stone, there's no way she would always leave it on. It had to be something that was makbid. They were nervous that it would get ruined one way or the other. But again, that's all according to according to Svardin. So that is Eitza number. However, one could argue, I think I wrote over here, Ulam Yesh Lit'on on the last page, Shein Dover Zed Melgele Machlokas Pein Ashkenazim Ben Asfadim. Maybe this isn't a Sephardi Ashkenazi split. Shari Ima Metzius Hukitivrei Arlitzion, Shein Tabas Chutzetzes Bechal Ditfeli Hilaguf, Gam Ashkenazim Yodu Shemutra Filu B'muhudak. That doesn't really work. I have to fix that. I don't think that's true. I mean, there are two separate issues of the Ramah and the Mechaber. One is the issue of Rafui, of if it's loose, and the other issue is what he says in Yardei Kof Tzadichas about it being Miyut She'eino Makbid. So where it won't make a difference over here is the issue of it being loose, because loose, tight doesn't make a difference if it's Miyut She'eino Makbid. But the fact that a miyut she'eino makbid is something we're careful about l'charchila, that still does make a difference. That still really matters. Okay, aside from all of those etzos, so if you look by the Os Gimel, right before the Sikkum at the end, milvad ha'etzos l'chatios haniskaros, yesh gam etzo ma'asit pshuta, shetasios ha'taba'os me'al yada, u'kedei laftiach shlo yignu lo yavdu, I've seen many women do this. This makes sense. Don't play around with the halacha. Take the rings off and put the rings in her lips, between her lips when she washes, and then right after the netila, you can put the rings right back on the hand, and you're not going to forget them because they're in your mouth. It's very hard to forget something that's in your mouth. So that would seem to be the best etza. So I'm not here to question anybody's psak. Rebbetzin Lam has been doing what she's been doing for 80 years. That's perfectly fine. But we certainly see that there's a lot to be sumich on if it's something that you're not makbid, that you're not makbid about, and it's a miyut. Still better than just doing that would probably be to move the ring up and down the hand, like the Kaf HaChaim suggests. But I think even better than that is the etza of just putting it in the mouth, and that way you never have to worry about it.
Nobody mentions taking it off going to sleep.
Well, if you take it off to go to sleep, that's called makbid, I would think.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah.